Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our Merry Marvelites. Can we say it that way? Merry Marvelites?
Fighting for Merry.
Yes, there we go. I think that's the best of both worlds.
We are quite merry. Mm-hmm.
We are a merry band of Marvelites.
I'll take it.
Welcome back to our 13th show of the year, 2015, 26 in all,
yes,
I believe.
It is.
Are we keeping count still?
We are.
We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from the Danger Room, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are.
As we are.
Makes us merry.
Seamlessly merry. That's what we'll say. We're seamless. Remember that?
Seamless. Oh, we haven't said seamless.
We haven't said that in a while. Someone said it on Twitter. It made me happy.
Aww.
Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through the Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. We're also on YouTube under that same banner. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. Find us on Facebook, Marvel Movie News. Like us.
I interrupt real quick? Oh. We're almost at 1,000 followers on Twitter. I think it's like
988.
So let's try to get to 1,000 by the end of the show.
Recruit your friends. Annoy them.
Both of them. We need two.
Just two. If everyone does two,
let's get to 1,100.
Then we'll get to the population of America by the end of the year.
Yes.
So I think that's how math works. And if you guys will tweet out the link to our live chat, the Popcorn Talk will retweet you.
We tweet.
And we'll say it and everything.
I studied English. I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco at M Placco.
Wait, I've got to do Coy because he'll appreciate it.
I'm Coy Jandro at Coy Jandro in this chair.
Go ahead, Sizzler.
And I'm Alan Sizzler Kistler at Sizzler Kistler.
Yeah, we're hoping to have you on a lot more often, but you've got WonderCon stuff coming up this weekend.
I do. I'm going to be on a spotlight with Jamal Igel on Friday. I'm going to be on a How to Get Press Coverage if You're Indie on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And I'm going to be speaking with some psychologist friends of mine on the psychology and the psychological benefits of cult geeky TV on Sunday at 2 p.m.
It's really cool.
Stuff. Really
cool.
Yeah,
really
it's like the second or third time we've done this panel. Yeah. It's really great.
You can see me in a sexy costume on Saturday.
Which is worth the admission.
That's worth the price of admission.
I'm actually really excited. So I'll be cosplaying with my first LA group friends of cosplayers. We've got something really awesome in store. It's my friend Manzanator, who's an amazing costume designer, has worked on Kids Choice Awards, YouTube stuff, and our other friend Kristen Space Invader, who's also an awesome cosplayer, and I've followed their work for years, and I get to cosplay with them, and I'm so excited. I will give you a hint. We are doing a really classically sexy take on some well-known video game princesses.
I'm intrigued.
There might be bunny ears involved.
You're doing the rabbit version of Zelda.
I'm dressing up as Bugs Bunny.
Oh,
that's
very
just
nice.
It. Yeah.
Very nice.
We are
fursuit
nerds.
And all.
We're dorks.
I will be at WonderCon. I'm not doing anything. Yeah. I'm just going to be hanging out.
Well, we'll be doing interviews and stuff.
We'll be doing interviews. Are you guys? You'll be there. Are you going to be there, Coy?
I'll be drinking in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Oh no. Rest assured, I will be too.
I didn't get
without
WonderCon
saying.
Tickets.
Right.
I'll be
you can still be
WonderCon.
At the bar. Yeah.
My lovely fiance.
I'll learn a lot after.
My lovely fiance Brittany, the party mancer, as she likes to call herself, is throwing a little bit of a shindig.
I'll be there.
Saturday night.
I'm just so unprepared for WonderCon, so I feel like I don't want to commit to saying I'll be there because I emotionally am not ready.
Mm-hmm. You're ready.
This will be
you're
my first WonderCon.
It's so fun. Yeah. And if you're in Southern California or if you're planning to go to WonderCon, tweet at us, find us, and we'll have a little meet and greet. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
We'd love to meet our fans. So
I've got a few books to sell, so yep.
Yeah, you've got your Doctor Who book.
Yep, the New York Times bestseller, Doctor Who, A History.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones, the unofficial Game of Thrones cookbook. I've got that. I've also got a couple
Did you write that?
The unofficial Game of Thrones cookbook, yes.
I've made 10 recipes from the unofficial Game of Thrones cookbook.
Yeah, that's me.
That's awesome.
Can I bring my
of course.
Copy?
I'm going to charge you.
Oh. Okay. What if I made you like the
you didn't even have to go that
the goose
far.
Eggs like. From it. I'm actually going to a Game of Thrones party next week, and
awesome.
I'm actually cooking a bunch of stuff from the books.
I had a fun time putting that together. It was way fun. And
you guys should read the names of authors on books you buy. I'm just saying. I just saw a cool
I actually
title.
I ran into George R. R. Martin at a bar in San Diego, and we got to talk about it. He was a really chill cat, and he was all like, "That's a great book."
Yeah,
and
awesome.
He was really, so really awesome. Fun guy. He thought it was. I told him about some of the haters I had. He's like, "Screw them, whatever. You're making money."
But like in a much higher voice, like, screw them."
And then he killed five people before we left the bar.
I'll show you how to deal with haters.
All his family.
It was amazing. Everyone wore a red shirt, and they regretted it.
Aww.
Everyone's favorite guys in the bar.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy. Oh, that's unfortunate.
I just learned your backstory. Why?
Let's jump into it.
Sure.
We've got no Deadpool news today.
No, not
it's very
at all.
Sad
very
how little boring. Deadpool news we have. Let's go ahead. We're at 20th Century Fox. Let's go ahead and throw that Deadpool picture up. John Arbus. We've got John in the booth today. Say hi, John. If you get, is the microphone
John
working?
John
Arbus.
John, yeah, I'm here.
That's
you. Yeah, that's me.
That's amazing. Sorry, I had it. Like,
she was confirming that I wrote it.
No, I just want to make sure I bought that. Yeah. Someone, I'm like, I know what the cover. Sorry. Oh, look at that. Is that on screen? Can that go?
Yeah,
that
no,
covering
that's
our face
that,
right now.
Yeah, that's covering our face right now. Thank
that's
God.
That's my cover photo on Facebook.
Oh, it
and it
should be.
Oh, of course it is.
Since 2 minutes after I
that's,
saw it.
That's a great photo.
It is. I flipped it so his feet are where my head is, so it's more together. But I've never been as excited by a single image in my entire life.
Really?
This is the, like, it's just, it's, there's nothing.
The Last Supper, Van Gogh's works, paltry
nothing.
Compared
nothing.
To Deadpool and a fireplace.
This
Burt
is,
Deadpool?
Yes.
So.
But this is Deadpool. This is when
yeah.
I never thought Ryan Reynolds had it in him, and he does. He's Deadpool.
I actually never doubted Ryan Reynolds.
This is when you know they get it.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's it. Maybe it's not Ryan Reynolds I doubted, but I just had, I was like, no. But no, they get it. And he even said in an interview, like, this isn't the same Deadpool from Wolverine Origins. This is the Deadpool that you deserve.
I doubted everyone except Ryan Reynolds, and this shows that those people started listening to Ryan Reynolds. Like, this image is them being like, well, maybe he's got something.
It's not his fault. I'm still upset over Hal Jordan. I'm just still upset over that. I really love that. I want that movie to be great.
Hal Jordan is upset about that. I think I think Ryan Reynolds has gone on record as like, yeah, that wasn't the best move that we've ever made.
But this is...
not his fault.
Also...
not his fault.
It's
certainly
on.
Not.
And can we take a moment to, like, really appreciate the costume? Because,
well, it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, like, Spider-Man and Superman and Batman have been very good interpretations of comic book to film. We haven't really seen, like, one of, like, the spandex suit Marvel characters, like, outside of Spider-Man, really, like, take it. And this is what comic book to film adaptations should be, not leather jackets, X-Men.
Yeah, so
this
perfect.
Is amazing.
Well, this tells you immediately they're absolutely embracing what Deadpool is. Everything from the costume to the complete hood. We're not having it a half mask or a domino mask to show the actor's face. No, the guy wears a complete hood with his eyes hidden. We're going that route. And we're immediately telling you, don't take this too seriously.
Yeah.
And the CGI augmented to the eyes are like different. Like, that's so... it's
a good
idea.
It makes me wonder, do you think the eyes will actually...
CG the
eyes? That'd
yeah,
be great.
This whole area, I think,
because
they're
because that's how
enhanced.
He
oh,
votes
yeah,
so
yeah.
much. You can't,
absolutely.
You can't not have that.
I think my favorite thing about the picture is the tongue-in-cheek reference to the
Burt Reynolds
on the bear,
yes.
like
yeah.
on the bear rug, like that's the first thing I thought of, and I was like, oh, it's so. It's so perfectly in character for what Deadpool would do.
Because you know Deadpool loves Burt Reynolds.
Of
like,
course.
You,
and
B.
Arthur. Let us, there
yes.
better there
yeah.
better be a B. Arthur reference
oh,
in this movie.
God.
That's Chimichanga level.
Yes,
like,
yes,
Deadpool
absolutely.
Love.
Like, yeah. When he got his boat and named it the SS B. Arthur, like, I shed a tear. I shed a geeky tear.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Burt Reynolds loving man. Like, if he's not, like, singing Southbound and Down at some point.
Yeah.
Like,
in this image, I can see what he's saying in his head. Like, there's just so much about this that's good. I can hear Ryan Reynolds. I can, like, there's just snark.
Yeah.
It's just so perfect.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is, like, I mean, really well played, Fox. I mean, this was a great drop. This is a great way to get fans excited.
Yeah.
This is, like, the antithesis of everything I've reacted to in Fantastic Four.
Thank you.
Hey, look, someone else.
Fox did good marketing.
Yes, yeah. Everything I'm loving here is the opposite of what happened to me in Fantastic Four.
Well, it's just, I mean, obviously they have different teams marketing.
Yes, they do.
This is great. I love it. I'm so stoked, guys.
Yeah, and like I've admitted on the show, like I'm not as up on my Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Like I haven't read as much as like most other fans have, like for Deadpool stuff, but mm-hmm. this was like, oh man, now I want to go read all the Deadpool that I've missed out on. Like this was
the Joe Kelly run, man.
Yeah, that's what I they actually don't have a lot of that on Marvel Unlimited until recently, and I recently just discovered that they finally put it on there, so I've been reading it.
The current Dugan run's pretty strong. The Good, yes. the yeah. Bad, and the Ugly, that five-issue arc, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, is some excellent. Of the most powerful Deadpool writing I've ever read.
Mark Waid, the second Deadpool miniseries, not the first, but the second one that was written by Mark Waid, was like the beginning of...
You're double fisting whiskey over here? What is this?
Hey, there's no judgment.
No, there's no judgment.
No judgment.
I just want to know why I don't have two cups of whiskey.
It's just diet soda. Well,
initiative is why. but no, Mark Waid was the first writer to really start giving him the sort of tragic anti-hero mm-hmm. voice mixed with the comedy instead of just having him be kind of a wise ass, but not actually that funny assassin.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
originally he's basically Deathstroke with a little bit more sarcasm. Mm.
Slade Wilson?
Yeah, Wilson became Wade Wilson. I mean, you know, and but Mark Waid started him on that route, and mm-hmm. then Joe Kelly in his Deadpool series, especially that first 25 issue storyline.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Just this fantastic
Maduro,
arc.
Right?
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely.
And also, like, the last couple of years where Deadpool shows up with the X-Men, that's been my main interaction with him, mm-hmm. and it's solid. He really kind of, like, especially if you get him and, like, Peter and the X-Men, or Spider-Man together yeah. with the X-Men, it's...
Oh, the romance between Deadpool yeah. and Spider-Man's incredible.
It's hilarious.
Oh, like, that whole Hitmonkey thing is one of my favorite yeah. stories
fantastic.
That I've read. And, like, he's, like, Deadpool's legitimately trying to save Spider-Man from Hitmonkey. It's yeah. great. I love it.
And anytime they switch costumes, I'm like...
Oh. Yeah,
bravo.
Well, also they had Deadpool in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon series, and
he
was fantastic there. They really just played with, especially when Spider-Man already breaks the fourth wall on that mm-hmm. cartoon series, mm-hmm. but Deadpool still took it to a higher level somehow. Yeah. It was fantastic. Blake Benji wants me to give him a shout out, so I will.
Aww,
done, sir.
Wow,
enjoy.
Well, Brittany wants me to tell.
I saw her, she wants to
cut off the man
it's
bun.
It's going soon. It's for a. thing I'll talk about in June.
Brittany Wallach.
Yeah, I'm on to her.
I just assumed he was a samurai.
Yeah.
I'm training.
Yeah. Yojimbo over
there.
Yeah.
Oh, are you going to do another White Samurai movie?
I will be the last samurai after Tom Cruise retires. Yeah. I'm the new last samurai.
Thank goodness, no matter what culture is dying, one white person can save them.
You're welcome, society.
Well, speaking of being saved, we also have confirmation that Deadpool's going to be rated R.
That was I didn't believe it when that came out.
No,
yesterday.
I know. I had to look at like three or four other articles to make sure. But it's getting an R rating, mm-hmm. and they handled like if you haven't seen the video, go watch the video. It's that fake Access Hollywood Mario Lopez and Ryan Reynolds like makes fun of.
It's better than
the Wolverine
every
movie,
trailer
like,
yeah. they could have.
But it,
like,
yeah. but it was Mario Lopez. That wasn't fake Mario Lopez.
No, that was,
that
like,
was real
that
Mario
was real
Lopez.
Mario,
well, yeah.
Is there a fake Mario Lopez that I'm not aware of?
Have you hung out in Hollywood?
That's a fair point. I have met various superheroes there, but I didn't realize that A.C. Slater was similar to that.
Yeah.
There's an Earth 2 Mario Lopez wandering around.
Are we allowed to reference Earth 2
sure.
here? Or do we have to reference like...
Mario
fine, Earth 161.
Yeah, I was about to say Earth 1610.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate universe, everybody.
Yes, it is.
So everyone that hasn't seen it needs to see it. It is like tonally what Deadpool's going to be. It's got an F-word in it to show the rating.
Yeah, I'll try to remember to post it to our wall.
It's incredible.
Our Facebook
it's good.
Wall. This is what we want. We want our ratings more than we want the PG-13. Would we...
Oh,
agree
absolutely.
With that?
Yeah.
It'll do,
I honestly went either way. Because the comics PG-13, the comic does really well. And I definitely don't think, you know, if your movie needs to be R-rating to be entertaining, then I'm like, maybe you got to rethink what the movie is.
Yeah.
But I certainly see the advantage of making it R with a character who's just balls to the wall, insane as Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And when he's an assassin who can regrow limbs back and forth. Like,
I think that gives them the freedom they need. Like, I think PG-13 could have worked, but I think the R shows what movie it's going to be so kids don't... Like, I think it's like a step
I was,
of like...
Yeah,
Before I was kind of like, it doesn't need to be R. Keep it PG-13 to tell a good story. But now that I've been seeing them handle this character really well, yeah. I'm less concerned about them not. They're going to tell a good story. I have faith in them.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
I think what I find interesting now is that this actually opens up for the whole world of superheroes. That now that we have an R-rated superhero movie, now maybe we can get a really good Punisher movie. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we can get the like Ghost Rider movie that we
Tom Jane.
Please.
Bring back Tom Jane for Punisher. Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry's better.
Him and Ron Perlman and Dirty Laundry, just
genius.
That showed you
it's
love.
So good.
Yeah, that showed you one of the one of the best things Tom Jane ever did was he was asked by a reporter who obviously was stupid and didn't understand the character what the skull symbolized, because he was like trying to sound intelligent. Like,
what?
So what does the skull in your shirt symbolize? And Tom Jane was either had no patience left or was a little drunk, and he just went,
or both.
It symbolizes frickin' death. It's because I'm here to kill you. I'm the Punisher. Frank Castle's dead, and I'm here to kill you. It's frickin' death. And he just went off.
Oh,
and it was the greatest thing,
funny.
And I'm like, that's what you're Punisher, man. You are the man.
Yeah.
I agree. It does open a door that we haven't had dealt. Like, Wolverine should have been rated R. It was so close, and it could have been. And I think this is a great precedent, because American Sniper is the number one grossing movie in 2014. That's a hard R movie.
And I think we don't need it. I'm not gonna, you know, I don't think we're gonna have like lots of sexual like nature in the Deadpool film. That's not it. We don't need it for nudity. I think we do need it for almost like the comical gross amount of violence that you kind of see in some of those like horror films.
It's like there's a comic where Deadpool is fighting someone else with a healing factor, and at one point like passes his pancreas back to him. Like, If you want that kind of action, you're going to go hard.
I want that. I want that. And if I have to get an R rating to get that really ridiculous scene of like, oh, here's my pancreas, you can have it back. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Jason Lasoya on the live chat points out that Kingsman made I don't know that I can say that, but he made a lot of cash and was R rated. And Deadpool is way more popular than that.
Absolutely.
Deadpool's had video games.
Yeah.
Kingsman's great. Everybody see it.
Kingsman was amazing.
I didn't realize it was
Kingsman
R-rated,
was
though.
So amazing. And if they do anything like that one fight sequence in the church with Deadpool.
That 6-minute take was insane.
That will like blow my mind.
Yeah.
That will blow my mind. So anyway, our rating. Real quick, Brianna Hildebrand has been cast as
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Thank you. Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Which is such an interesting character to put
right?
in
and
this
she's
film.
Not even like a Deadpool character except for like X-Force, but I don't even think
that's
not even that.
So steps removed.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about Negasonic Teenage Warhead and why she's fascinating to me is that she's very instrumental for Emma Frost's development in the comic books.
Yes.
There's I don't want to go too much into it, but there's some stuff that happens in Genosha, which is the mutant stronghold island. Bad things happen, death happens, Negasonic Teenage Warhead dies in it, and it actually like kickstarts Emma Frost into a lot of like the characterization and development that we see her in today.
Yeah, she was introduced in Grant Morrison's run in 2001.
And she's kind of always been this weird character with a strange name that was it's kind of a nod to a metal song and
it's literally a metal song.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah it's the title of it. But we know kind of Emma was like killed off screen in the first X-Men movie. I don't know. I some people feel she was like
she was mentioned as dead in
Days of Future
Days
Past.
Days of Future Past. Yeah. Everyone apparently died off screen. It was like Alien 3.
But
X-Men 3, where she's some mutants are
gonna die. I don't think she's going to tie into Emma or the Genosha storyline. I just think it's such a strange and interesting character that I'm like, they're probably like, oh, we have the rights. Let's bring her in because she's got a ridiculous name. Do we know what they're going to do in terms of her power set, though? Are they going to keep it as kind of this weird, like, prophetic dreams? Or are they going to...
All we know right now is that she's cast.
Yeah, I read one piece where they said that she's going to be a more hands-on character than she is in the comics. So...
I think the Deadpool movie is in general an opportunity like Guardians of the Galaxy for Fox to really do something that no one else would touch and go as far as they want with it and see how it does. Like, I think this is a great litmus test. So putting characters like this in
it,
and I think this is really just like, it's Guardians. It's like, it's Fox being like, hey, let's see how this does.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah. The release is, about her being a Negasonic Teenage Warhead said her character is a telepath that also possesses precognitive abilities. Hollywood Reporter also notes that Hildebrand is undergoing physical and stunt training for the role. We've never really seen her in too much action like in the comics. So
we haven't. Like she was a student who then died. Like the only other time we saw her after that is she was either a mental projection, so it wasn't really her,
Or in Necrotia, she came back because the whole story was about dead characters coming back.
Yeah, mm, that's right.
So, yeah, and I like everyone.
But she
really
is interesting.
And I like Hildebrand's look.
Just a cool name.
Yeah. Well, and I think Hildebrand's like overall, like her look is gonna lend really well to this character. She's really, you know, beautiful but interesting woman.
Yeah, I mean they'll either maybe like use her in like a sort of expository way to kind of set up some missions for Daredevil, or like maybe she's a telepath.
Well,
Deadpool does have a history in the Joe Kelly run at least of getting missions and guidance from a precog.
Oh.
So maybe she's replacing that character.
Yeah,
that could be interesting.
Remember that character's name? I haven't read the Joe.
I want to say Charlie, but I could be wrong.
Yeah,
it was this dude who looked like his face was melting.
But Deadpool's
it's been years
angels.
Since I read it.
Yeah, like so. Just like an hour before we started, there were some leaked set photos. We had time to throw up a couple, but there's a. We got Ryan Reynolds with some facial prosthetics
look at that,
on.
Look at scarring. I'm so excited.
And we can probably expect for there to be even more like through CG and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But so we've got that one. Go ahead and flip through. We've got that. And then we've got Marina Bakarin.
Yay.
As Copycat. At least we're assuming it's going to be Copycat.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got those posted on our Facebook page if you want to go take a look at the. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, the Ryan Reynolds
there's
one
like
should
20.
Be seen.
Yeah.
Check
yeah.
them out.
Yeah,
I have a question. Is her hair black and blonde, or is it just
It looks
other?
Like it.
Okay. It's
it
not
like
just
it.
Yeah, it's a little far away from the screen.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So she's got some neat.
So, yeah. We've got... Yeah. And we've got... I forgot to throw up the picture of the bad guy, who's the actor's name I'm forgetting.
One that we think is.
But you think it might be Agent X? By
I would guess just from his look, Agent X jumped to mind. Now, Agent X is supposed to be, supposed to be Japanese in the comics originally, although he later took on the name Alex Hayden. But Agent X is a dude who basically sort of became a counterpart to Deadpool. He got the same powers and initially was becoming an assassin to kill Deadpool because he mistakenly believed Deadpool had killed his brother, and then later they sort of had an interesting rivalry where they would sometimes work together and then they would sometimes fight and trade each other's pancreases and stuff. And the last time we saw him, he got exposed to like some Hydra weapon that gave him the American gene, which as it turned out made him obese. And and then he had to go on Jenny Craig. I'm not making this up. He had to go on Jenny Craig to like lose weight.
I believe everything you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the point is like you have, if you play him as a comedic character, it would work for this movie. If you play him as an anti-Deadpool, it would work for this movie. So that's why Agent X popped into my mind.
Yeah, and as opposed to T-Ray, because I don't think it's been, like...
T-Ray's...
Nothing's been confirmed as, like, it being T-Ray, so...
T-Ray's...
That's just been the assumption.
I mean, he was an alright character in the Joe Kelly run, but he was never meant to be the big bad or even that... He was just this other assassin that was stronger than Deadpool and had a mat on for him. And then there was later a comic book where it tried to be like, actually, he's the real Wade Wilson and Deadpool stole his life. And then a later comic was like, that makes no sense. Ignore that. He was clearly lying or crazy. So, like, no one's really had a good handle on T-Ray. That's why I don't automatically assume him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, well, do we feel like we've covered Deadpool sufficiently?
I think
it's been like 20 minutes on Deadpool. Not
There's
complaining.
Never enough.
You're so
excited.
So this you're more excited for this than Ant-Man.
For me, it's Civil War, Age of Ultron, Deadpool, everything else.
I keep forgetting Ant-Man is a thing that's coming out.
Yeah.
But for me, this is my Doctor Strange. Like I'm this
really?
Is this is almost
really?
The equivalent.
Oh, that puts it into some perspective.
Spider-Man's
for
my
me.
Number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Spider-Man is almost a given.
Yeah.
Deadpool,
yeah.
like Doctor Strange, is not a given. So this existing is to me like the achievement of geekdom being an acceptable form of entertainment, and then this character being so specifically to me, this is my Doctor Strange. I'm so excited.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
This is
I'm
like
excited
the Spider-Man
for
coming to Marvel again, excited. Like this
Aww.
Existing is like
no I know
that's
like,
so awesome though
I'm so
like
excited.
That's I love because I think all of us have that's different and and not the usual characters so that's
and I love
really...
Ryan Reynolds like Ryan Reynolds indie films like The Nines and all of his smaller stuff is really underlooked and then him being in this big of a blockbuster and hopefully it erases Green Lantern
oh, he's very
he's
good he's very good and he has a deep love for Deadpool
and it's so important
he
loves Deadpool like I feel like Hugh Jackman loves Wolverine or maybe even more and that's gonna show
absolutely
made.
Him pushing this through got it made. Real quick, SpikerNet, I think is how you say your name. You wanted a shout out from the Marvelites in Singapore. Hi, Singapore.
Hey,
Singapore.
Hey, what's up?
What's awesome.
I love Singapore.
Yeah, who doesn't love Singapore? I mean, I go there once a week.
I'm just like, the fact that we have someone who watches us.
I know. I think that's really cool. Awesome. That's really
cool. Isn't
that
the magic of the internet?
I know.
Yeah. So let's jump over.
I want to make a map of where all of our viewers live.
I will let you do that.
Okay.
I
like maps. Those little pins, like instead of places we've been, like places people have seen us from.
Places people see us right now.
I like that.
So let's jump over to X-Men Apocalypse real quick, where we apparently have some confirmation that Ben Hardy is Angel. Like, what website was it? I cannot remember the name of the website, but they released that they can confirm.
Is it Latino Review?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
It was all Latino Review.
It was not.
Variety?
It wasn't one of the main... Deadline. No. I can't remember.
Can't be Deadline.
No, it wasn't a main one, like, not Deadline.
Yeah. But Ben Hardy was confirmed as Angel, which goes hand in hand with the Age of the X-Men Apocalypse production art that shows Angel kind of being caged. I believe we've got that. There we go. He's in a cage and he's surrounded.
Well, and this is okay. So, I want to dissect this photo because this reads as one of two things to me. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like a weird fighting ring. In which he's...
I see what you're saying.
You can say that. Or because I'm so used to Dark Angel in Age of Apocalypse, it makes me wonder if... because I see people that look like spectators, so I don't think they'd be transforming him there. But that's why I feel like, is this some weird mutant fighting ring?
Well, this is still... Bryan Singer still involved, right?
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah.
He's directing it again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I definitely think we're going to see Dark Angel because in X-Men 2, when you go into the Weapon X facilities and there's... The X-rays of Wolverine, if you slow down that scene, you can also see there are X-rays of someone who clearly has metallic wings.
Mm.
And Bryan Singer had always intended to reveal retroactively Archangel.
Really?
The dark side. Yeah, you can
cool.
see there is someone there who clearly was being experimented on and had wings.
Interesting.
And so Bryan Singer, now that he's back in the pilot's chair, I have no doubt he's going to finally use some of those ideas that he never got to put into X-Men 3.
And that would tie into Four Horsemen really well.
You can't do Age of Apocalypse. You can't do an Apocalypse storyline without Archangel. Like,
they have become so intrinsically linked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could.
And Archangel is still up until a year ago, when Rick Remender played with him in X-Force, he was still he was still Archangel. He was still around. And,
so Archangel is still kind of the biggest victory Apocalypse has had. Because, for a big threat, the major bad things he's done have been in alternate timelines or parallel worlds. In our mainstream universe of Marvel, the biggest victory he's had is corrupting and permanently scarring Warren Worthington.
And
mentally.
That was his first story. That was X-Factor number 6 for Apocalypse. That's where he first came out.
Which wasn't originally going to be him.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
What's the story behind that?
The writer changed. And I believe Louise Simonson had started writing the comic.
Yeah.
And she originally was going to be the Daredevil villain, the Owl. Was this secret person manipulating... Yeah, it was going to be the Owl.
The Owl?
Yeah, it was going to be
Alvin
the secret...
Lansley?
And Leland Owlsey. He was going to be the secret architect behind what was happening in X-Factor. And then the writer changed or the editor changed, and someone said, you know what, change it.
Was that Peter
make
David
up a new
that
character.
Took that?
No. Peter David eventually came on to X-Factor, but this was decided before he came on. Then they retroactively said, oh, no, there's this really old mutant with, crazy power, and he's called Apocalypse.
Power.
And he's been, around for years. And then X-Men Classic was coming out of that time, and X-Men Classic was reprinting old Claremont issues, but also adding in new scenes to cover up some plot holes. And in a couple cases, they decided, well, let's actually add foreshadowing retroactively. So then they added a scene with Apocalypse meeting Moses Magnum, and so suddenly you had this idea of this character who'd been around for years, and we just never saw him out of the shadows.
Oh, that's so good. See, this is why we have Alan come on. He is a comic book historian and expert. So, he's I don't know what that is.
No.
I have no clue what that is, but that does make me think.
Well, that's a screen.
Archangel. What? Thank you, Alan.
Before we leave X-Men, Wolverine's last appearance, it seems like.
That's the rumor, that's the rumor.
Hugh Jackman's Instagram post saying, one last time.
I don't blame him.
I mean, Old Man Logan's in 10 years.
Give
it some time. I mean, I love Hugh Jackman so much. But
he's great as Wolverine.
He's incredible. He is Wolverine. But, I mean, you have to at some point be able to step away before it becomes X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Well, I wonder if they're going to use like Age of Apocalypse to reset that and get like a newer, younger Wolverine.
I thought we had another Wolverine movie coming.
We do.
We do.
Okay. Yeah, but that will be his last.
Oh,
Someone
okay.
is
okay.
in, means
is
he's
in
not
the
implication.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that means he's not in Apocalypse somehow. If he says one last time, implying the Wolverine movie, does that mean, like, that's my curiosity.
What comes out first, Apocalypse or the Wolverine movie?
Apocalypse.
Then I think with confirmation he makes an appearance in it. I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
Maybe he's one of the horsemen, because he has been in the comics. Yeah. He was Death at one point when Archangel wasn't.
And Brian Singer loves Wolverine. There's no way he's not.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's the Wolverine movie.
It's Wolverine and Friends.
It's Wolverine and the X-Men.
I would love, put this out there, Scott Eastwood as young Wolverine. If they do like a time displacement thing. Because I think Hugh Jackman is looking more and more like Clint Eastwood. And Clint Eastwood's son, Scott Eastwood, could be a young Hugh Jackman.
Wow.
And it'd be this crazy cycle around Clint Eastwood.
He's rumored to be in the Suicide Squad movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes Green Lantern is Deadpool, and sometimes Human Torch is Captain America.
It's true.
That is true.
So I'm okay. I'm okay. I just think Scott Eastwood would be a really cool Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our X-Men news out of the way. Let's move on to Marvel, where, first of all, as if we didn't need more reason to go watch this movie, the Star Wars trailer is going to come out with Age of Ultron. So if you were already kind of on the fence about, like, I don't know if I want to go see this Age of Ultron movie, you're probably actually not listening to this podcast.
Yeah,
but,
what are they doing here?
Yeah, get away from here. Now you have even more reason to go.
It's going to make $7 billion.
Oh,
it's going to make
on Friday.
Because people line up to see these trailers on movies that aren't so good. But now it's... Age of Ultron plus Star Wars, like, that's...
Yeah.
Disney's just, like, they're printing money at
insane.
This point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I think they are actually, like, part of the U.S. Mint system now.
They're actually what's keeping our country afloat.
They have way more money than America does. That's just sad.
Yeah. I think they're, like, our number one export now at this point.
I'd like to think that Walt Disney's still alive, but he's Emperor Palpatine. He's running things.
And he can actually shoot force lightning out of his fingertips.
There you go.
Walt
like
Disney.
It. I
yeah.
like it. Why not?
He's become the demon.
That's canon now, you guys.
The demon in Fantasia. What's his name? Trinovog, I think?
Yeah.
That's what he's become.
Or he's
as played by Tom Hanks.
I was gonna say, or he'd be the sorcerer.
Also great.
Oh,
Yinsen.
Yeah. True. Yeah. True. Yeah. So we've got that. Also, there was a video that came out, I think, earlier this week where they talked about how important the Maximoff twins are to the entire
Age
of
Ultron story. Yeah, Joss Whedon kind of expands on their power set, which it got me thinking. So, you know, they've expanded Wanda Maximoff. She's not really magic-y based with whatever her...
And I'm fine with that, because her powers were always
kind of
to
weird.
Change
but
anyway.
Yeah. They're making her a telekinetic and telepath, which speaks to me that they're kind of using her in a Jean Grey role.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the red hair. She's got, like, the same power set. She obviously has Omega-level, you know, powers. So it's kind of like, hey, we can't really have mutants. We can't really have, you know, the main Omega thing. And also, Wanda has a history of kind of going crazy and destroying things like Jean and the Phoenix has. So I really feel like if Marvel needed to ever have those story, like, wanted to use those storylines, they can do that without having Dark Phoenix. So
it's also it's a kind of and tropes by themselves are necessarily bad, but it is a trope in science fiction that a lot of times the women will get sort of the more passive or invisible abilities, like telepathy, like heightened senses, you know, like telekinesis.
But it's definitely, I mean, it's a good way to explain her power set from the comics in this world. But I really, I don't know, I just, something about it struck me as I'm like, no, it's their answer to Jean Grey.
It's also, it's more direct, because, I mean, in those early stories, like, it's just she casts a hex, and it would make something like, she casts a hex, and, you know, the gun flies out of your hand, or she casts a hex.
Well, it was like probability-altering powers.
Right,
it was like,
everything
works out in her favor.
In the first
several
years, it was just doing things like knocking your weapon out, or knocking you down, or making you trip. If you just say telekinesis... That's just a much more direct and obvious and understandable way to say...
Yeah, exactly.
To achieve the same effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But they're apparently going to be kind of a bigger role in the movie than maybe we've even given it credit for. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Still not sure about Quicksilver's accent. I mean, I'm glad they're...
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I saw an interview where they were trying to make it a little bit more nondescript and not regional specific. Yeah. So they kind of created their own...
That works. Well, because
Eastern European accent.
Yeah, because the actor himself is, New Zealand, Australian?
He's super British, I think.
British? Yeah. It was when he was talking off camera, I was like, I can't quite place that as English or New Zealand or Australian. But it is definitely when he speaks as Pietro, he's definitely accented. I just don't. We haven't heard Wanda speak. So
I'm really curious how it turns out, because I really love Quicksilver in X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like I know it's gonna be totally different. I think that's really smart.
Well, it'll have
really
to be.
Well, in the way Whedon explained him, he summed him up so perfectly. I mean, because he is so fast, he is very impatient with people, mm-hmm. and I'm really glad he captured. Like he got it. He knows.
Yes,
he knows. He got it.
I know. He knows.
Whedon's got it. Also, we have news that. Julie Delpy and why am I blanking on
Linda
Cardellini are in the cast. We don't know who they are or what they're doing, but they were on the cast list for the premiere. And
For Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yeah, for Age of Ultron. So they're on the cast list for the premiere. And a website reached out to Disney and was like, hey, is this a misprint? Are they actually in the cast? And Disney wrote back, no, they're in the cast. But we don't know who.
Let's see.
Linda Cardellini for Squirrel Girl.
For Squirrel Girl?
She'd be so good.
What if she was...
Squirrel Girl and Spider Woman.
Can you go back to... can you go back... There we go. Squirrel.
Right?
I could see her as Squirrel Girl.
And she's great. I love Linda Cardellini.
No, I love Linda Cardellini.
Julie, what if she's Captain Marvel?
I mean, hate to say it. I think she might be a little too old to play Captain Marvel.
How dare you, sir?
No, I know. I feel like a jerk saying it, but that's also Hollywood.
Can we
so.
Go back to Julie? I want to...
By Hollywood standards.
Yeah.
Right.
By Hollywood standards,
I mean, how,
sadly, she would make a great Carol Danvers.
I think she would make a fantastic Carol Danvers.
She wouldn't be my top pick, but I guess I saw Blonde, so I assume.
Right.
That's an interesting... I wonder who they're going to be.
Perhaps she's Moondragon. Who knows?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Think on that, nerds.
Oh my god. She's Moondragon. This the Avengers are going to
it's
some wacky
there.
Places
yeah.
if they're doing Moondragon.
There.
So the speculation immediately of course is like, oh, she's gonna be Captain Marvel. One of them's Captain Marvel. But I don't think that Marvel would make the announcement that way unless they're trying to keep it such a surprise that this just
that kind of
slipped through the cracks, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it is interesting because it's not even on IMDb. You know, I mean, you look her up and she's not credited in IMDb. So
we got some people guessing that she's Enchantress from Asgard.
Oh, that would make sense because we do see a blonde.
Oh. Maybe she's Enchantress?
Well,
I could see her being a Mora.
Mora, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Oh. Nice. All right.
Though it would be really awkward. Well, no. Hiddles and her have the right age.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Carrie Hamilton said, wouldn't it be cool if Deadpool commented on Quicksilver looking different all the time?
Oh, my God.
And that's fantastic.
That is fantastic. Well done, Carrie.
Where's your accent? What?
What? What?
Hella and Enchantress. The Gamer Girls says Hella and Enchantress.
Ooh.
No.
Oh, that would
okay.
be.
Okay.
How many Asgardians can you put in this film?
Yes.
All of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still say you need to have just a separate spin-off Netflix series for Sif and the Warriors 3.
Yes,
so
please.
Oh, my God. I would watch that.
Yes.
I would watch that. That's our X-Men news. Also, I think we probably all already knew this, but Hayley Atwell said that her role in Ant-Man is small. She's more of a cameo.
Which is a pun.
You guys.
You see what she did there?
Yeah.
But I think we all kind of already... If we didn't know that, we assumed it, but now it's just further confirmation. Yeah,
I mean, it's not like it takes place in the past, so I can't imagine she'd have a whole lot to
do. Yeah, and I think, in fact, she said it's like a flashback.
It's a cameo,
so now, it's a cameo flashback. So now we know that there's a flashback. Mm-hmm. So we probably see a younger Hank Pym in the Ant-Man suit, in the 50s or 60s.
What's his name from Mad Men is back as
John Slater.
Dad,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that'll be, I think that all ties into that world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. I think they're playing with the Marvel backstory stuff too. So. So that's that. And then Netflix, let's jump over to Netflix real quick. We've got news that the Southland showrunner, Chio Hoderi Coker, has been named as the showrunner for Luke
Cage.
That's
awesome.
I like it.
He's also, I think he was also the showrunner on Ray Donovan. He was a writer on Almost Human, and he was the sole writer for Notorious.
Nice.
Great.
But Southland is such a...
I've never seen it, so I'm going to have to rely on you for this.
It's a hilarious comedy.
Yeah, totally. It's going to be... well, but it makes me think that they're going to really ground Luke Cage and really explore like him from the streets, and we're going to get a different, we're going to get a very different show out of Luke Cage.
Which,
I mean,
which is
The Wire.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're basically going to get.
That's what it should be.
That's what it should be.
And that's great. This is what Marvel's been doing so well, that you have a connected universe, but everyone gets their own atmosphere. Captain America is a different movie than Guardians of the Galaxy, even though they're clearly in the same universe. And for the Netflix shows and even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to go into such a different atmosphere where it's like you would not see the Hulk or Thor in this atmosphere, but it works totally for Luke Cage. I love that. I think that that's great, because that's what the comics do.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's what you want to read, and you read that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's a much smarter move than, I don't know, doing a movie universe where everyone looks like they went to the same tailor and are done by the same director.
And I am just going to say this. I think it's really important for comic companies, movie companies, game development companies to look at the wider audience and realize it's not all the same people from the same background. And I think Luke Cage is going to be something very different in what we've seen out of superhero movies. I'm really excited for it. You know, maybe not all of us will be able to relate to it like on a, you know, I didn't come from that side of the world, but I think it's going to be a great exploration. I think they're going to tell a really good story. And I am really excited. I mean, I've been pushing for diversity in our comics and films. And I think this is like, you know, Marvel's been really in tune to that, and I'm excited.
And I also think that the four characters they chose for Netflix tie together well in that tone, but also can be different enough to, like you said, carry their own.
Well, and there is kind of something that they all have like this from the ground level, from the streets. Even though, like, you know, Matt Murdock's a lawyer, you tend to think like, oh, lawyers are rich and fancy and drive fancy cars. No, he comes from blue collar, you know, people. It's, I think there's
and he's a defender.
Yeah, and he has a public.
That cardboard cutout on the door in the trailer.
Yeah, that was great. That's so great. Yeah.
So I think just from someone who's been aware of this and talking about this for years, I'm really excited to see this. So I know it's weird. We're a panel of white people up here. I really want to get, there's some people I would love to get on our show to kind of talk more about this, because I don't want to talk about something that I'm not an expert on, but I am excited.
Yeah.
And I think what Joss Whedon does best is combine those worlds. Like, the world they're able to do with the Avengers, considering how different Iron Man and Thor were, I'm really intrigued by how the Russo brothers handle combining these new worlds in their own flavor. Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, one of the smartest things that was done in Avengers was having Captain America just sort of listen to everything and say, so your brother is invading from outer space with an army. All right. and it's just like, this is weird. Cap thinks it's weird, too.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's okay. Therefore, it's okay. Those moments, those interactions make it work.
And that party scene in the trailer already establishes how well they handle that. Like, his Thor's outfit is so perfectly Asgardian and Earth, and like everyone's wearing like not superhero clothes, but
still like kind of super.
I want to dress like an accidental superhero, like that.
So
The costume Thor's, designer.
Well, their Thor's costume designer is fantastic. Incredible. She's amazing.
I really can't wait to start the cosplay coach and try to get her on the show. Obviously, we're doing an Age of Ultron episode.
Oh, well, you're going to have to.
I've been wanting to make that Black Widow for a while, so now it gives me an excuse.
And the costume on Daredevil looks incredible, too. Like, the one we've seen, that was the closest thing I've ever seen to, like, straight out of the page. Really strong.
Well, let's jump off of Luke Cage and let's jump on to Daredevil, because there were a couple trailers that were released yesterday. One of them was they used the word defender for the first time, and they said how did they say it, like witness the birth of the first defender. Or like something like that, like in text is like, we're getting defenders.
We knew
the contract and the deal and everything, but it's very, it's kind of the Netflix equivalent to Sam Jackson appearing
the
at the
Initiative.
End.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the Avengers Initiative? It's
that
exact.
It's a week away. They know what they're doing.
Oh, they know what they're doing. They so know what they're doing.
I've avoided the last batch of trailers.
Let me show you this cube. Yeah, it's that wink.
Yeah, it's that little bitty ping. They're coming. He's the first defender, but there's three more to meet.
Coming. Yeah.
So and in that same one, we heard, I think, Foggy talk for the first time, which was exciting. I was like, oh, Foggy actually talks. I was like, oh my god, we're getting closer to this. And then at the very end, they had the scene with the night nurse, where she said something like, by the way, your costume sucks. And he's like, yeah, it's a work in progress. It's like, oh yeah. Like just hearing like the night nurse talk, like, like just hearing like those characters talk, it's like, oh, we're so close. Oh, we're so close.
Next week.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, because of, well, AfterBuzz is sending you to the Daredevil premiere tonight. I think it's just like the first episode.
Yeah. I'll be doing red carpet interviews with, well, I think I'll be there on behalf of Popcorn Talk and us, and then Megan Salinas from AfterBuzz. We'll be pairing up together. We'll do red carpet interviews. We're going to watch the first episode. You'll hang out with us.
I get to go because I'm a Marvel Unlimited subscriber.
Dude, all I have to say is if you live in LA, sign up for Marvel Unlimited because they got into the press conference.
We got into the Marvel event because of Marvel Unlimited.
That's cool. We have friends too.
Yeah. I'm going to go see Furious 7 and I'm going to love it.
I'm sure
it's
you
not
will.
Marvel related.
But I'm going to watch Columbo on Netflix.
I'm going to come.
So go screw yourself.
Hang out. I love
Columbo. So is delicious.
It'll be the William Shatner episode, which got meta.
The director's going to be there at mine, just like so. That's cool. Yeah. I'm excited.
Can we actually do a Fast and Furious show? They should
it
let
is
us
the
do
closest
it.
To the Avengers that you can do without being Marvel related.
Yeah,
I will.
Fast 5 and 6 are the Avengers, but without comic characters.
That's true.
Well, their superpowers is cars.
Yes, Vin Diesel and The Rock are comic characters in their own. Right. It's They're insane. Superheroes, guys.
That's all the news we've got to report on. So we're gonna try and do some questions. But first, we've got the Wizard World question of the week from last week, which what big news story will come out right after our show finishes recording? Can we see the MODOK Modinklage?
Modink. Yes.
That was on our Facebook page.
That's some good art. Thank you.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. So here are the six that we chose. Judge Hector wrote, Johnny Knoxville, Bam Margera, Wee Man, and the rest of the Jackass crew have been cast as the Morlocks in a Morlocks vs. the X-Men standalone movie. Griffin Edwards wrote, Deadpool costume reveal.
Yes.
Does he work for Fox?
Jasper Elwes wrote, Matt Cook will be playing Peter Parker, and Matt Key will be, surprisingly, T'Chaka.
Oh, that's a bold move. That's a really bold move.
That would be some bold casting.
Yeah, talk about really going progressive there. Yeah.
I'm not sure bold is the right word, even.
But I can see myself as T'Chaka, and I can absolutely see Matt Cook as Peter Parker.
I could actually see Matt Cook.
I could see
Peter
Matt as
Nick Ward wrote, Ultron wins, slate canceled. Xander McCorriston wrote, Marvel announced Ellie Kemper will play Squirrel Girl in an upcoming Netflix series. The series will have a connection to every MCU property thus far.
Oh, I would actually love that.
I would love that. And I would love to just see like an episode or like a Netflix series where Squirrel Girl actually beats Galactus and Thanos.
Insane.
Super funny.
I just want my Dazzler series.
You're the only one.
Me and Jim McCann. We're it.
Who's your Dazzler?
You know what? It depends on whether you're at the start of her career or later in her career. If you're at the start of her career, I'd go for an unknown. If you're later, I would go for Emma Caulfield or Leslie Bibb.
I can see Leslie Bibb. Yeah. Tony Millett said Daniel Craig and Charlie Hunnam are playing Union Jack and Captain Britain. So those are the choices that we've got.
I do love Union Jack.
Just leave, because he
fights vampires.
My vote is either for the Jackass crew as the Morlocks or Ellie Kemper as Squirrel Girl. Those are my two votes.
My vote is going to the one that actually was right. I mean, the Deadpool costume reveal.
Yeah, but he
could have said that after it happened.
Oh,
yeah, I don't think he actually called it.
Oh, I see.
There's no timestamp.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, you're right. There's no timestamp. Oh, okay, then I'm gonna go with Squirrel Girl because I love Squirrel Girl.
Okay, so we got two. One for Squirrel Girl. Do you guys?
Squirrel Girl.
Okay.
Jackass. I love those guys. Morlocks. That seems so good.
That means the tiebreaker's on to me now.
Didn't you pick Morlocks?
No, I said Squirrel Girl or Morlocks. I haven't said which one I want yet.
Well, can our booth, John Tarvis?
John Tarvis, do you have a vote here?
John Tarvis. I'm going to go with the Jackass crew.
Yeah.
All right, so now it is tied. So I'm still the tiebreaker.
Flipping it. Just gonna flip everything.
No, don't flip. I'm gonna say Squirrel Girl. I'm gonna say Squirrel Girl.
It's just because Squirrel Girl is awesome.
She is awesome, and the comic book is very awesome right now. So
Take it.
Why are you so mad at him? So
I'm not.
We're gonna
it's my victory.
Just let it be
for you on the live chat. Why don't you go ahead and ask us some questions. I'm going to be watching them while they play the game.
Yeah,
you guys play the game.
I just want to play.
But if you have questions, go ahead and ask us real quick. We've got a couple minutes left.
Why
so.
Do I pull the worst hands, guys?
Wonder Man is not a terrible...
Versus...
Mojo.
Come on.
Wonder Man wins.
Mojo sucks.
He does. Sorry, go away. The only thing, good thing we got out of Mojo World was Spiral.
And Long Shot.
Oh, and Long Shot.
Yeah. Long Shot.
Shatterstar was from there too, right? Shatterstar
that
was from the Mojoverse.
Depends on what year you're reading comics. He's had like four origins.
Oh.
Go for it.
I win.
Oh, Mother Trucker.
I win.
Who'd you get?
I got me. Aww. I got Dark Phoenix.
I got Wonder Man.
How many Wonder Mans are
Wonder
in this
Man
deck?
Wonder Man also sucks, frankly. I've never, other than the
I've
first
never,
story,
yeah. I've never
where
been
he
a
died
giant fan.
All right, last one, because right. we're one to one right now. All right. Invisible Woman.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Depends on how creatively.
What are the Invisible Woman's power levels on the back? That was my favorite part of the card.
Yeah,
the power
three
levels.
Stamina, three intelligence, and two on strength, speed, agility, and durability.
Okay, so this is before she realized her full potential again. So I'm gonna go with Rogue.
I'm gonna concede to Rogue.
Yeah.
Because Rogue could steal the power and still have Captain Marvel's powers because it's the Jim Lee X-Men one.
When has Rogue been truly defeated? Like.
It's happened on occasion.
Yeah, but...
like Juggernaut's beat her up. The Avengers fought her to a standstill in her first appearance. Mm-hmm.
Which says a lot for her, given the fact that she was so young.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, that was Avengers Annual number 10, if I remember.
I think 11.
Oh. I think it was 10.
It might have been 10.
I'm gonna put money on 10.
All right,
I'll go with 10.
So we have a ton of questions. And before we answer any of these, I have to say...
Oh, go for it.
Whoever said Michael Bay directing Spider-Man...
It was April Fool's, right?
I hope so. I'm real upset. I'm like, no, that guy. Please be joking.
Totally, Jason Lasoya asks, do you think Wonder Man Simon Williams will ever have his time to shine in the Avengers? Like in the MCU, I'm guessing. So
I don't think.
No. I don't think they're going to pull him
that's
in.
A
yeah,
little, that's a stretch.
He would be more interesting the way they did it in Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes, where he's this tragic villain.
Like
he would be more interesting that way.
Yeah.
I'm looking for other questions here. Do you think Deadpool will talk about his daughter at all or have a unicorn?
Unicorn, yes, daughter.
From Colt.
Yeah, I think daughter's too recent. I think daughter's a great storyline, but that's a great sequel or third. Because the whole thing is him not knowing for so long. You couldn't have it just introduced.
Yeah.
And someone asked what comics they should read if they're in another country from Marvel. I think Ultimate Spider-Man is a great way to start reading comics. It's really approachable. It's a lot of what things are based off of.
Yeah.
And beyond that, if you want to read classics, Amazing Spider-Man's great too. But I'm a Spider-Man guy.
I mean, the old Masterworks for some of these are fantastic. Like the Masterworks collections for Fantastic Four, which is the original runs from the 60s. I mean, they're kind of hokey by today's standards in terms of dialogue. But man, there's so much imagination there. There's so much insanity there. And that sort of is what built the Marvel Universe.
And Claremont X-Men would be great.
Claremont X-Men's great. Captain Marvel by Kelly Sue DeConnick, Learning to Fly.
I'm also going to throw this out there. If you want a kind of good start with X-Men is Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men.
Astonishing was great.
It really sets up a lot.
Gifted.
You don't have to know the whole history, but it's a good
and it's a great team.
It is a great team. Also, the Joe Casey miniseries, Children of the Atom, which is sort of a prequel to the original team forming.
Yeah.
That's a really good miniseries.
Yeah. Well, and that's been currently going on, like Mark Waid's Daredevil is just
It's fantastic.
Oh, Mark does an amazing job with
And also, Matt Fraction's Hawkeye is fun. It's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Hawkeye you see in the films, but he's my favorite Hawkeye.
Dan Slott's Spider-Man and Human Torch, if you can get that trade, it's like five team-ups they have over the years, and it's a sitcom, basically, and it's fantastic, especially when he finally reveals, like, Peter Parker, trying to broadcast to the Human Torch in a crowded room that he is actually Spider-Man, and they need to team up right now, because there's, like, a hostage situation.
Yeah, that's funny.
So he's like... Everyone's got their hands up, including Peter Parker, and he's trying to like get Johnny's attention, and Johnny's like, why is Peter motioning to me? He's like... And Johnny's like, what? No.
That's funny.
It was fantastic.
So like,
he was doing the Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Someone else asked who our favorite B-list comic character would be. I think it's a really cool question.
Oh, that is.
They asked like four times too, which makes them seem...
They really want to know.
Let's see.
That's a good
B-listers.
Oh, gosh.
I've always had a soft spot for Speedball just because he's so lame.
Robbie Baldwin? Like D minus.
No, I know, but like that's the first name that came to mind. Like Robbie Baldwin's Speedball is so lame.
I really like Ben Reilly and Kane, which probably isn't acceptable to say.
I like what they've done with
really
Kane.
Really interesting where they've gone from
the way, the way Kane is right now in Scarlet Spider, I really like it.
I really like that stuff.
Strong guy. Guido.
Oh yeah.
He's always been like one of, like anytime I would pick up X Factor, I'd be like, oh yeah. Would we say that Multiple Man Jamie Madrox is a B-lister?
He's become more of an A-lister.
Yeah. He's got his own series.
He's a top five for me. Like he's one of my favorite characters.
People were saying Nightcrawler and stuff, and I can think of A-lister.
Nightcrawler, I would say, except I consider him an A-lister.
B-lister's actually hard to quantify.
I mean, B-lister, Dazzler and Adam Warlock are maybe up there.
Oh, yeah. I love Adam Warlock.
I think Adam Warlock, because also they're both characters where I really think, I love the idea of it so much, and I think their full potential has been reached often enough. So I love the two of them. And, for Marvel Universe, I also love Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do with her half the time. Yeah. It's like, well, now she's Photon. Yeah, now she's Pulsar. Now she's
Captain Marvel again.
Now she's
on the Mighty Avengers. Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Machine Man.
Oh, Machine Man.
I freaking love Machine Man. He's way fun.
Would Thunderbird be considered a B-lister? I mean, I know she kind of got to do Captain Marvel during the whole Dark Avengers stuff.
I would still consider her a B-lister. I really think,
or like her different monikers, I thought her storyline, especially when she exiled herself to the moon, it just showed really good characterization.
Yeah.
I really liked her.
Chamber from Generation.
Big
fan of Chamber. I want Edward Robert Pattinson to play Chamber.
Oh, my God.
Because Pattinson's a really good actor, but he only is known for Twilight, and that accent, the hair.
Yeah.
Chamber.
I would love to see Cosmo. Like, they had like a quick little like cameo in Guardians of the telepathic legend dog.
Oh.
I love that character.
Blazing Skull. The Golden Age character, the Blazing Skull.
Oh my God.
Because he was like,
you're digging deep.
You look like Ghost Rider, but you joke like Deadpool. and I just loved him. I just loved, like, the first Invaders comic I read, they're like rushing into a secret Nazi base where they're trying to open up doorways to other dimensions. And they're all like, we have to stop the Nazis because they could totally mess with the entire world. And Blazing Skull is singing, "We're off to see the wizard."
Oh, that's
as
funny.
They're rushing so into things. It's like, would you stop singing? And I was like, this isn't.
I
who
love
is this
a
character?
Cosmo movie, but as like Homeward Bound. Like I'm trying to get back into intergalactic space. Like Cosmo as the protagonist, but in a animal family friendly. That's
trying
our first
to get
joy
home.
At Marvel. He's trying to get home. Space.
He just wants to get home.
He's just in here talking to us.
You could lead that into the Pet Avengers.
It'd be incredible.
Oh, yeah. If you bring in Lockjaw,
Homeward Bound with
and
Cosmo.
Niles the cat, and
Frog Thor,
Lion, and Throg. Yeah.
Spider Monkey?
Yes.
Yes.
Just Beta Ray Bill.
Ray Bill's the man. Yeah, I do love Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah, he's my favorite B-lister.
Because he's got that sci-fi quality, but he's also got that old world, like, Thor, my blood brother!
Exactly.
We must fight together!
So, Moon Knight, when and who should play him, but from James Floodgate.
Oh, I don't know.
Ben Foster.
Ooh!
He can handle the multiple personalities. He's really dark. He's super intense. Ben Foster.
Or do you think we'll ever see him?
Giovanni Ribisi play a really interesting one. That'd be my reach. Giovanni Ribisi is such an underrated actor, and I think he could handle it.
Yeah.
But Ben Foster, number one, Giovanni, number two.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not even going to challenge that. Do you think that we could get like a series two of Netflix?
I think that's going to be their next phase. I think it'll be Punisher, Moon Knight.
I definitely think
Ghost Rider, maybe.
If it does well.
Especially now that Warren Ellis has reinterpreted Moon Knight in such a great way.
Yeah.
We can do a plain clothes Moon Knight look.
Yeah, like just the white suit.
And I think
white.
Ben Foster could carry a show. I think he really could handle
it. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Last question. Do you think Kang the Conqueror will be the big bad after Thanos?
No.
I would love that. I doubt it.
I don't see
it. It's hard to explain.
It's just not...
It's so big.
I think they've already done a huge cosmic overlord.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to have to like bring it more primal, bring it more personal. I think the next phase three, with Spider-Man coming back, I really think we're going to see Dark Avengers. I think we're going to start seeing a bit more grounded storytelling.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I would say that you could do more of a personal Kang story and take that into that kind of direction, make it more subtle and more manipulation, but then it's not Kang the Conqueror, then it's Immortus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think
that's what they did.
Like,
I could
see them do Immortus and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and crossing over to some of the other Netflix shows. I don't see Kang, because he is a Conqueror, if you're going to be true to him.
But we have Thanos kind of doing the similar storyline.
Yeah, and he's been waiting.
Like, exactly. So you've already got that. Yeah, it's that's the problem with doing a film... franchise as opposed to a TV franchise. You as much as you have these higher budgets and bigger worlds to destroy and build, you also have a limitation of how many characters of the same ilk you can introduce.
Yeah. I'm just really curious too how long we're going to be able to get these awesome superhero movies. I mean, we're eventually going to have to recast soon because of age, but it's just, you know, I'm really fortunate that we have so many superhero movies, but I also am like, oh, I wonder when that bubble's going to burst.
Rockstar 227 said they're never going to post a question again unless we answer them. What was your question?
Yeah.
Because you guys don't bother to ander it.
Well, it's just the chat room also goes
so fast.
You guys talk real fast.
You guys talk very fast, and we're trying to do a show.
Will Star Fox show up? Maybe. I don't know. Star Fox is not that interesting of a character, honestly. He's just sort of this charming or rapey guy, depending on what
you...
Yeah,
he's a rapey. Rapey.
Yeah, depending
but
on
there
how
was,
plays
there was,
powers.
Like, there was some speculation after Guardians that he might end up being Star-Lord's dad.
Yeah.
Like Peter.
That'd be terrible.
Let's just flat out.
Yeah,
that'd
be terrible.
We've got one more, and then
Venom in the MCU.
We got a wrap soon, guys.
I mean, I want it, Carnage to happen really bad. It never will, but Maximum Carnage is one of my favorites.
I would love to see the Flash Thompson version of Venom show up, but right now they're still just
Agent
trying to
Venom.
Get Spider-Man into there. So if Venom comes,
I want Flash later.
If you do Eddie Brock, go with the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon version because he actually had an origin that like made sense to me.
MCU,
yeah, the. I mean, the way Venom showed up in the comics was not the plan. It was a last-minute change, and that's why his origin story kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. I was a reporter, and you showed my news story was wrong.
Meanie.
So, here we are. And
but
I called
myself.
The
character became incredible. Like,
the
like
character became
Mary
cool.
Jane and
it's just there was... You still, no matter what, had to keep reiterating that backstory that
really
made no freaking
angry
sense.
Journalist.
You know, whereas
that's my
Greg Weisman in the cartoons, Spectacular Spider-Man, gave him this really great backstory that built over time and gave him a reason to hate both Peter and Spider-Man.
And I want that. I would.
No, if you do it that way, if you do it like Greg Weisman did it, awesome.
Tom Hardy,
awesome.
Eddie Brock.
No, you would be great. You would be great. That is an hour-long show. We've got to cut it short.
I'm sorry, I'll ask questions.
Not cutting it short. We went really long to try to answer as many questions as we could. But that's our show. We've got to take off.
Rhodey's not dying.
We have to go places.
So that's our show. Thanks for joining us. Do you guys have any final thoughts at all? We'll be at WonderCon. Come find us. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in the area, we'd love to see you. Come find us. Tweet at us or whatever.
Yep.
Special thanks to our prize sponsor, Wizard World Conventions. They've got Vegas at the end of April, 24th through the 26th. Minneapolis, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Then Philadelphia is a big show for them, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, where they'll have David Tennant, Billy Piper, Haley Atwell will be there. So if you guys are in that area, go do it. Please don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Marvel Movie News. Rate us. Leave us a comment on YouTube through the Popcorn Talk Network. Comment. Thumbs up. Keep us coming back to you. Find us on Facebook, Marvel Movie News. Like us. You can find us on Twitter, at Marvel Movie News, PTN. I'm at the Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco at M Placco.
I'm Alan Kistler at Sizzler Kistler.
I'm Coy Jandro at Coy Jandro.
Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.